This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
I've been trying Underbrush from Nathan and Sons, and it's not really regular gum. It's remineralizing chewing gum, basically an oral care routine in gum form. You brush in the morning and at night, but after lunch, there's a big gap where most of us do nothing for our teeth. Underbrush is made for that moment. Chew it for 5 to 10 minutes, spit it out, and move on. Or keep chewing it if you like the feel of it. It's made with something called hydroxyapatite. That's the same mineral your enamel is made from, and natural saps like mastic and spruce. So it has a firmer, really satisfying chew. The company is only a few years old, and the team is literally making, packing, and shipping gum every day. So if you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, check out Underbrush from Nathan & Sons. Check them out today at nathanandsons.com.
Right. What is going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Southeastern Bowhunter Podcast. In this episode, we got my good buddy John from Ace Hardware Social Circle. Call him Big John, my archery daddy, all that stuff. It was a really, really good episode. We covered a whole bunch of topics from John's upbringing and what got him to be an archery tech, a coach, and his target archery journey. We talked about a lot of stuff. So it's a really good episode. I hope you guys enjoy it. If you want to watch it on YouTube, it is also on the YouTube channel. Make sure you like, subscribe, all that other crazy stuff. So a huge announcement. If you guys are not on the Southeastern Bowhunter Facebook, Prime has really, really, I don't even know how to put it other than just the way it is. So you guys know that the original plan was to give away my old bear, my old bear Whitetail Max. Well, I spoke with Prime, spoke with Brian over at Prime, and they are blessing somebody at the shoot with a brand new Prime Form 30, 60 pounds. It's got a black riser and a scar. I think it's Summit Scar Limbs. Somebody is going to leave the shoot with that bow. Now, they are sending it to me, so I'm going to be able to see it. I might post pictures. We'll see. But I'll be able to see what the setting is. Whoever wins it, if the mod that it comes with is not your draw length, we will get that taken care of. But yeah, dude, thank you, Prime, for that. Thank you for believing in me like I believe in y'all. Now, how it's going to work is, when you guys come to the shoot, anybody can shoot for this bow. It's going to be a 100-yard shot on the elk at Charlie Elliott. I'm going to get a orange sticker to put on the elk itself. That way we all know what to kind of aim at. And whoever, it's going to be a 5-shot maximum. So you have 5 shots, all right, to hit that 10 ring. And if you do, if you make it in the orange, or if you make it where it's your arrow is touching the orange, then you are going to be given a ticket. At the end of the shoot, okay, I'm going to pull a ticket out of a hat. And if that ticket number that I pull matches your number, if you hit that shot on the, or if you made that shot and you have a ticket and those two numbers match, you win the bow. So I figure that's the most fair way to do it. I wanted to give it to somebody that really, truly deserved it and earned it. And, So the way I look at it, I don't know who's going to get it, but somebody right now listening to this or somebody out there is going to be blessed with this bow, and it's up to the Lord, whoever that is. So that's kind of the big announcement. Super excited about that. Before we get into it with John, got to run through the partners. I'm going to run through these pretty quick. Remember, there are discount codes and stuff and links to everybody's websites down in the description. So make sure if you want to use some of this stuff, head over to their websites. Here we go. Sportsman's Empire, the podcast network that we have been working with for quite a while. Got a ton of shows on there. So if you want to listen to more than just this, head over to Sportsman's Empire, check it out. Lone Wolf Custom Gear, I'm running the V2 doubles and the .75 DeQuisto series stand. Actually just got it put together, completely ready to roll like 2 days ago. So if you guys need a new stand, head over to Lone Wolf. They also offer the Patriot series, which is more of like the budget-friendly cast aluminum. The only difference is it's cast, but you're also not going to be getting the same, bells and whistles that the DeQuisto series has, but it's all made by Lone Wolf. It's all made in the USA. Really, really, really good quality stuff. Let's see. Next up, Osseo Gear, my camo brand of choice. I'll be running the Leafy Jacket this year. I know that they've got quite a few things out there. In my opinion, Osseo is the best camo that you can run. It's made by bow hunters for bow hunters. Next up, Boutique, best air wraps in the game. G5 Outdoors, I'm currently going to be running the Mega Meat this year. I know there's some things coming down the pipeline I can't talk about, but I'm very excited for what G5 is working on. And I know you guys will be too. So if you need broadheads, head over to G5 Outdoors. Let's see, next up, Prime Archery. So I already told you guys about the bow giveaway. I'm shooting the Prime Divide 31, best bow I've ever shot. I had some reservations at first because of going from a 34 to 31, but after getting used to it, man, dude, it's amazing. So if you guys need a new bow and you don't win the new bow, head over to primearchery.com, or I'm sorry, g5prime.com. Check out what they have to offer. You can customize a color. You can order. I think you can order a bow through their website. If you can't, go to your local bow shop and go ahead and order, or actually go shoot some of the primes. I would recommend shooting them first to see if it's what you really, really want. But just remember, guys, nothing aims like a prime. Next up, Dialed Archery. They've got the Proof, which is what I'm running. They also have the non-mover sight, which is the Strike, in a ton of different colors. You can customize it however you want. Let's see. Next up, Moultrie. Going to be doing an episode with Mark next month. My Moultrie cam is working great. Shout out to Chris, who is letting me come to hunt with him this year on one of his properties. He actually started sharing photos with me, and let me just tell y'all, it's looking to be a good season. Chris, you're freaking awesome, dude. And our Moultries are working great. I absolutely love them. So if you guys need new cell cams, now's the time to get it out, okay? So we can start getting inventory on these deer. And who better to trust than Moultrie? Let's see. Next up, Bow Hunting League. I have a huge announcement with them coming very, very soon. I don't know when I can talk about it. I know we're having a meeting this week, but there is some big stuff happening behind the scenes. So once I'm able to share that with you guys, I will. Remember, if you want to be a state sponsor, it's $100 a year. And it gets you quite a few perks. You get, you know, whatever logo or like our, like the podcast is going to be on every shirt sent to Georgia hunters that killed a buck that were entered. And the logo is going to be on the back of the shirt. So that's one really cool thing with it. Let's see. Next up, Scrape Doctor. Dude, look, I got my scrapes out last week and they've already started hitting it. Now, I'm not saying that they're doing rut stuff or acting dominant or anything, but they're checking scrapes. Meaning that they're just sort of telling all the deer, hey, we're here. It's like a communication thing for them. So if you get them established now, because when they're established now and you refresh it 3 months from now, it's going to be a lot closer to the rut and pre-rut and everything that these bucks are going to go to them more. Let's see. Next up, Victory Archery. I'm running the HLRs. Catalyst Archery. High quality stabilizers at a low cost. Man, I'm telling you, I love it. And the Catalyst is, I actually got the stabilizers a couple days ago that will be part of the giveaway. So if you need new stabilizers, go to Catalyst Archery, use the code that's down below. Oh, you know what? Actually, I just realized, that's funny. The, looks like the code. Okay. It's there. Sorry. I just had to make sure that it was correct. Oh, actually, I forgot to say the Scrape Doctor code. It is now 15%, so it'll save you 15% on everything that you buy. Back to Catalyst. We have a 10% code for you as well down in the description. If you want to get some new stabs, go to Catalyst, all right? And last but not least is going to be Unbound Archery, which are the strings that I've been using now for a few months. Absolutely love them. Nick can do any string for any bow. He can do any color. You can mix and match colors in the Crayola package, dude. He makes, in my opinion, the best strings that I have personally ever shot. So that is all the partners. Before we get into it with John, got to talk to you guys about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do it every single episode. All glory to God. Everything that's been happening is not of my doing. Okay. The Prime Bow giveaway stuff, that's all the Lord. All these amazing partners we work with, all the Lord. And, you know, there's times that things can seem like they'll never go wrong, right? But obviously, life is not like that, right? So if you guys are struggling with anything, and me and Thomas talked about it last week, I'm going to bring it up again. If any of y'all, man or woman, are struggling with anything and you guys don't know Jesus, try to give him a chance, right? This month is Men's Mental Health Month. So that is something I really want to spotlight a lot this month. And I will say, having my own mental struggles, like everybody else does, knowing that Jesus is with me makes it a lot easier. Like when I feel personally, when I feel like everything's falling apart, you know, the podcast might not seem like it's doing good, or I get my head about it, I always turn to Jesus, and he gives me a peace that I really don't have words for. So yeah, the Lord's amazing. He died on a cross for you, for me, for everybody listening, for everyone that's not listening. He died on that cross so that those who believe in him can have eternal life with him when our time here is over. And, you know, whether you want to hear it or not, we're not going to be here forever. Okay. So it's very important to have a relationship with him. Man, I just got to end it with saying all glory to God. So that's the intro. This episode with John was a lot of fun. We're going to do another one. I don't know when, but sometime soon. And yeah, you know, so enough of me rambling on. Let's get into it with John from Ace Hardware Social Circle.
Welcome to the Southeastern Bow Hunter Podcast. This is the Southeastern Bow Hunter Podcast.
Yeah, I think so.
Say something in the mic again.
Is this thing on?
Yeah, I'm going
to
turn
it on. You need to give me a little bit.
Yeah, so those of you guys that are watching, we have my archery dad here. This is what I call him. Mr. John from Ace Hardware Social Circle. One of the best bow techs that I know. Taught me a lot of the stuff that I know. Helped me with my grip problems, deer stuff, marital issues, financial struggles. Yeah, just pretty much everything. So, dude, thank you for coming over here.
Oh, no problem. Yeah. I
honestly was getting a little nervous, you know, because I texted you and you were like, yeah, we'll see how the day goes. And I'm just like,
well, I was planning on coming, just not sure when, yeah. What time was.
Well, that's what was funny is Jess was asking. She was like, what time is he coming? I was like, I don't know. Yeah. She was like, you didn't tell him the time. I was like, I did, but you know.
We were trying to get done earlier too. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, because, I mean, what time is it right now? 6:07. Mm-hmm. I mean, I typically don't record these for another hour and a half.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, it's your first time on the podcast, just you. I think you and I did an episode. It was kind of a
joint episode.
Yeah, yeah. With you and me and who else was there? Was it Robbie?
Maybe.
I think it was Robbie. Yeah. Yeah.
And George Archery.
Yes.
/ Southeastern Bowhunters.
Yeah, which George Archery is your podcast.
That is my podcast. Okay. Yeah.
So before we get into like what you do, mm-hmm. and all that stuff, obviously people know you're a archery tech, big in the target archery stuff, which I am not. But who are you? who is Big John?
Well, let's see. This is in the archery world, I have been a certified coach for over 25 years.
Certified?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I didn't know you had to get certified.
Yeah. So I've been a certified coach for over 25 years. But let's go farther back. I started hunting when I was a kid. My uncle decided he wanted to hunt. And of course, my dad couldn't be outdone. So he wanted to hunt. And so they both got me hooked on hunting. Mm-hmm. I shot my first deer with a single barrel 20 gauge shotgun at 11 years old.
Wow.
Then my uncle had tried bow hunting, mm-hmm. and put it in the closet. And well, when he put it in the closet, I said, can I try that?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. And I'm like, 11 years old trying to pull this thing. So my goal was to be able to shoot that bow.
Yeah. What was the drop weight on that?
I don't know what it was. I really don't.
Heavy.
I backed it down. The draw length was too long. Everything else. Like it was, but that's what got me hooked on bow hunting was that, yeah. You know, and so I killed deer with that, aluminum arrows.
Oh, wow. You know, so this is like, back in the day.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So, when I was, 13 years old, I killed my first deer with a bow.
Dang. Doe or buck?
Doe.
Okay. How big? Just regular size.
Yeah, regular, probably 100 pounder.
Dude, I almost took one of those out on the way home today. Yeah. I'm trying to think of where I was. I was driving. Oh, I was in Augusta.
Okay.
And I was on the phone with Thor. And we were talking about this bow giveaway, which people who listen to the intro, don't skip it. We'll get to hear about that. But yeah, I was telling him about it. And next thing I know, this like probably 2-year-old doe comes just flying across the street, yep, maybe 20 yards away. And I was like, oh, oh, oh. Okay. And he's like, hit it. I'm like, dude, no. I'm not doing that.
No.
But anyway, sorry.
Yep.
ADD.
So that, so I was hooked on yep. archery at that point. Yes. I mean, for the longest time, that was just extended my hunting season.
Yeah.
So as soon as gun season came, I put it in the closet, picked up the gun, which is then 13. I got a 30-30 lever action for my,
ooh,
you know, Christmas present.
Old school.
And killed 173 deer with that.
Holy crap. So, I thought you were about to say killed a 170. I was like, dude, I knew you were good, but dang, where was this story?
No, so, and then at 15, I decided that I wanted to, that's what I wanted for my birthday.
A bow.
A bow. So I told everybody, give me the money. Went to our local shop, which was Bain's Army Store of Milledgeville.
Oh, wow.
And
is that where you're from?
Yeah. I was born in
Milledgeville. Okay. Yeah.
So went down there and bought a brand spanking top of the line PSE with all the bells and whistles. We're not going to talk about which model it was, and we're going to talk about how inexpensive price tag was compared to today.
Oh, God, dude. That's a rabbit hole we could definitely just live in.
But being over 50, this was 50, at age 15, so it was a long time ago anyway.
Yeah, but you know, prices
have just
ridiculous. It was probably lower than what the lowest budget bow is right now.
For sure.
Yeah.
It was, I think I ended up with 585 with a dozen arrows, broadheads, case, the whole nine yards.
And today, kids, you can get a bear for that.
Yep. Well, some bears are great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've got the one right back here we were going to give away.
You're going to give away, right?
I'm not now.
Oh.
Yeah. Should I say something on here in case people skip it?
Well, they might. You never
know. Okay. So, real quick, we're going to detour here. If you come to the bow shoot, Prime was kind enough to, I don't even want to say donate. They're sending a brand new Form 30, 60 pounds. Got to remember the color. It's a black riser with Summit Scar Limbs.
Scar Limbs.
Yeah. And so I shout out to Prime. I mean, Ryan, you're the best. Yeah, seriously. I'll tell the story on that.
Awesome.
Oh, God. Yeah. I love him. And the story with that is like, you know, we've been with Prime now for 2 years.
Yep.
And I'd always wanted a bow like sponsor, right? And I'd never shot a Prime. And then the form came out and I shot it. And it was best shooting bow I've ever shot. So I'm like, I reach out to Brian. I'm like, dude, I really want to work with y'all, all this other stuff. And that was the first time ever really, truly working with a bow company. And so my thought is like, okay, I'll make it. I'll know I made it when I get my first free bow, right? That's just kind of like the way I was looking at it. And last year I had to buy it, which fine, no problem.
Yeah.
And then I remember all year thinking to myself, I'm like, dude, how long is it going to take? Like I even prayed about it, mm-hmm. honestly. And which, you know, some people might say is a little weird, but whatever. And then this year was blessed enough to be able to get the new bow. And I was like, all right, that's it. I made it. We're good. They've done everything they can.
First bow that you bolt hole.
Second.
Okay.
Second.
But both of
them. Actually, no. Third. Because I did it with the bear when I picked the grip tape off.
Yeah, we had to do some.
We did a lot of tweaking. Yeah. And then the form.
But out of the box.
Out of the box. Yeah. 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 So yeah, then that happens and I reach out to them and I'm like, hey guys, we have the bow shoot, you know, and I'm thinking broadheads, like what they did last year.
Oh, yeah.
Broadheads, a quiver, you know. And then Brian texts me back. He's like, yeah, man, we'll send a bow out next week. And I was like, whoa, 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 you're what now? And ever since then, dude, it was like, it just keeps getting better and better.
For sure.
And I mean, Prime.
Blessed is blessed, right?
Hey, it ain't me, it's him.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, really. But anyway, back to you. Yeah. So before we do that, free bow. Shoot 100 yards. You get 5 shots. If you make it into the 10 ring, which there will be a sticker. Let me think.
If you,
yes. 100 yard shot on the elk. There will be a sticker in the 10 ring. So aim for that. If you get it in the sticker or in the 10 ring, whatever, your name goes in, or you will be given a ticket and then I will draw the ticket at the end of the shoot when we do all the giveaways.
Anybody who hits the sticker is in for the drawing.
Yes. And then if I call your number,
yes, yours.
You get the bow.
Yes,
and you can do whatever you want with it. Sell it, keep it, donate it, doesn't matter. So, all right, back to
sell it. It's a good shooting bow.
I know, but I mean, you know how it is sometimes, man. Like 100 yards. Like I had this conversation with Josh the other day because we were kind of figuring out how we were going to do it. And he even said, and I kind of agreed with him a little bit, but he was like, man, you want to give it to someone that needs it, mm-hmm. right? Not someone that's got a brand new Arc 30 1776 edition. That's
a pretty bow.
I know. I need to come see it. But I want them to have it, but at the same time, I want someone deserving to get it.
Yeah.
But then you also can argue, well, they hit the 100 yards, so they kind of are deserving. But if you did it with a crazy good rig, I mean, I could hit 100 yards with my bow, mm-hmm. you know? So I don't know, man. We'll see. It's in God's hands. Whoever's supposed to get it is going to get it. That's the way I look at it. So, all right. So you were 13, killed your first deer, got your first bow, mm-hmm. or killed your first deer with a bow.
At 13. 13. Yeah. And then I bought my first bow.
At
my personal first bow that matched me, fit me at 15.
Oh, okay. Got it. And
13 was one of those hand-me-down. It was a Browning.
Oh, wow. Was it like the, I have it in here. Was it a Woodland bow?
Yes.
You need to see the one that I have in the garage because it might be the same one.
Might be. But that's what it was. Long, you know, heavy limb, metal cables, aluminum arrows, the whole nine yards.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Well, I'm old.
I mean, you're not, but the equipment is.
Equipment's gone a long ways.
Yeah.
For sure.
Which I'm sure we'll get into.
And so that was 13, you know, to 15 to every year, 16, 17, 18, 20. I did some other, went to shoot a tournament, in Valdosta before it was called ASA, with some friends.
Wow.
I was actually not old enough to drive. I had to ride with somebody else.
And what year is this?
I don't remember. Years is
you said you're 50?
51.
51. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you were, what's 51 years ago?
Well, you got to take, subtract 15 off of that.
Oh, I know. I'm just trying to think of when. So what year were you born?
75.
Okay. So you were 15.
Yeah, 85, 87.
Got it. Right. Okay. So dang, ASA has been around that long?
Well, yes. So it was the trail, uh-huh. And it was filmed on ESPN. You could see it. You could watch it and do
wow.
it. And then it became ASA after that.
Okay.
But I didn't go as like to be a tournament shooter. It was something that was happening in the state. A friend of mine told me we drove to Valdosta and shot in this first time ever event. It was cool.
Yeah.
Bunch of bow hunters. I think the guy who won had a set of overalls with no shirt on.
Sounds like Georgia.
Bunch of redneck. And, that was when, Wayne Pearson decided that, a collared shirt is needed in ASA.
Because of that guy?
Well, we're on TV. And we need to look professional.
But that is like, that's alluring now. Can you imagine? Like, think about it like this, all right? Imagine all the ASA shooters,
mm-hmm.
at least all the men ASA shooters, because
don't go there.
Yeah, we don't need to go there. Mm-hmm. But imagine all of them shooting unknown 50 or unknown whatever in overalls with no shirt on. People would watch it. I mean, they might be able to get back on ESPN. That's just my guess. I don't know.
Anyway.
Yeah, sorry.
But he that was one of the rules in ASA is that we need to look more professional like golf does, you know.
Well, I mean, because archery is kind of like golf.
In a lot of ways it is. It's an individual sport, all nine yards. Anyway, so that didn't put me into tournament archery at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I did it, but we, you know, and then come this, that, and the other. I have an IT degree. I went to school for computers. So, I have an IT degree.
Dang, really?
Yes.
What are you doing in an archery shop?
Because I didn't want the rat race.
Yeah. I do know some of our IT guys at work and that it.
Yeah.
Kind of competitive.
You know, I was doing computer work and a shop in Edenton because mm-hmm. I was living in Edenton. And I was doing their computer work, which was Lake Oconee Shooting Club.
Okay.
And it was just a gun club. You know, they had skeet, trap, you know, five stand, the whole nine yards. And I was helping Sammy McFadden teach the kids shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing all the computer work. And that was my sort of, I did a trade. I'll do your computer work if I can shoot your sporting place.
Yeah.
Type thing, which was cool. Well, Craig sold the business to another gentleman. He wanted to bring archery in. And so we're sitting there, and I'm not an official employee, but I was always there.
Yeah.
And we're sitting in a meeting and with the employees, and he said, well, who knows archery? And I raised my hand. I'm like, well, I've been shooting at bows since I was whatever. He said, well, good. You know, you've already teaching the kids shotgun. So let's start teaching archery.
Dude, that's
so
crazy.
That's the track that I went.
Yeah. Especially knowing what you do now.
Yeah. So started there and became level one, became a level two.
So, all right. So kind of break it down a little bit. When you say level one, level two, what is that?
So U.S. Archery has five levels total of coaching certifications.
Okay.
So level one is don't shoot yourself in the foot and it points that way. Right? Right. Level two is a little more where, you know, you get into a little form and a little, you know, grips and hands and so forth. Mm-hmm. Level three used to be called community coaches, where you could teach, you know, classes, and and that's where you're no longer called a coach, you know, an instructor was the first two. And that's the first time you could be called a coach. And you also take a background check and the whole nine yards because
they don't even give you a background check. I guess because you're not
too, because you're an instructor, right? You're just there to help point people in the right direction.
Okay. And you're not like actually holding classes yourself.
No, exactly. So at level three is where you're designed to be able to write curriculum, teach classes, have your level ones and twos help you teach the classes. That
Got
kind
it.
Of thing.
Okay.
And then level four is even more in depth, from breathing to, you know, physicalities and how to eat and how to run, how to exercise and we're athletes.
Well, yeah, but I mean, how many of us are sitting in a tree stand eating little Debbies with a bow next to us?
That's the difference between.
So you're saying that they do this.
Athlete.
Yeah. They do this for the target side, not the hunting side.
Well, one of the best archers in the business right now, Kyle Douglas, just ran a marathon just to prepare himself for his hunting season.
I mean, Cam Haynes, perfect example.
100%.
Granted, he's a major outlier, but the same time.
But I would have never put Kyle Douglas as running a marathon. And when he asked why he did it, he said, I'm just preparing myself for hunting season.
That's crazy.
So
that's so crazy.
Yeah. So there's more to it than that. And then those are all, it's lean toward, U.S. archery. Tournament archery.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of Olympic archery, which is just recurve.
Really?
Until this coming up in LA, we'll have the first compound compete in archery.
So is it going to be could I take my prime and go shoot that? Or does it have to be like kind of like how your Hoyts are, where they're a target bow?
No. So what happens is you have to qualify to go.
Yeah.
So if you went with your hunting bow, you would probably be handicapping yourself.
Oh yeah.
Because magnifications. Yeah, but magnifications.
You've seen me shoot.
But magnifications, and it's only mixed team, so it'll be a male and a female mixed team.
Oh.
That'll be shooting.
That's interesting.
So it's pretty cool.
That's really interesting.
But it's cool because it's in LA. It's first year we've had compound. So being this in LA, we're a host nation, so we automatically get a bid. So we have our two people in.
Who's
they? We don't know who they are yet because they haven't done trials.
So we could probably guess who's going to be it. Paige Pierce.
Maybe.
And Levi.
Maybe. No.
Is Levi still doing Target?
He does 3D.
3D. Oh, so this is spot.
Yeah, this is an alpha 50 meter.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So,
interesting. But anyway.
We get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
But we can get into a lot. But as far as that for me, hunting, and so I would still slide my bow under the thing, pull out my rifle, had switched to a 30-06, just worked better for me. Upgraded from a 30-30. Still in Georgia, 30-30 will get you anywhere you want to.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, as I was doing the classes, learning more about archery, besides just extending my hunting season, I started more and more bow only. You know, so instead of the first 2 weeks of hunting season, whatever it is, archery only, and then when the gun cut up, I'd stay with my bow for a little more.
Yeah.
Until the rut came in, and then I'd be like, if we're running at 85 yards down there in that bottom,
I'm going to send it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then I had gotten to the point where I was carrying both. Wow. Rifle and bow.
What kind of stand were you using?
I mean, it's a Millennium single man, but I just...
Oh, so it was a ladder stand.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, okay. Got it. I was about to say, if you're carrying a stand, sticks, gun, bow, all that
these
shit.
These are all setups, you know.
Okay.
I would venture to say that in the saddle, I probably am not going to carry both.
I wouldn't. I definitely wouldn't.
Because that's a whole lot of packing.
Yeah. Stand. And imagine climbing up.
For sure.
You need two bow ropes.
Everything. So, yeah.
But
that's what I did. And then slowly but surely just did more and more bow till bow stayed all the way in the whole time, right? So I pretty much bow hunted all the time.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, I'd pick up a rifle. I would take my daughter hunting, and then she would sleep in, and she wouldn't get up. So I just grabbed her rifle and shot a deer out of her deer stand to prove that, well, if you had got up, you'd have shot a deer.
It didn't make her mad.
Of course. But that was the point, right? Next time she won't sleep. So this past year was the first year. She's 25. And this was the first year that she actually shot a doe.
And she's the girl, just so I can put a face to it, she's the girl that was with you at the shoot last year. Or not the last.
Taking pictures?
Yes.
Year before last. Yes.
Year before last. Oh, okay.
That's my daughter, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, she shot her first deer with a bow. With a rifle this past year.
Oh, wow.
So she shoots a 7mm 08. It's pink camo. She loves it.
Jessica has a pink camo 243 upstairs.
So
You know. Probably going to be Tiffany's gun.
Works the way it works, right?
What's so funny to me about how, and I'm not saying this is broadly women, but at least my experience with Jessica, like her bow, the one that's hanging right over there.
Yeah.
She wants to get blue and pink tassels.
Oh, for sure.
For the bottom limbs.
Yeah. And it's all pretty.
Yeah, but I'm like,
you gotta look good.
What do you mean? Why?
Because then again, you know.
But then again, I mean, look what I did.
I know you had to. Matches got to match, right? The deer doesn't care.
No, I don't even see
going. Sometimes confidence, looking good, is a confidence thing.
Yeah.
So if you have confidence because it looks good, and you're proud of it, you have more confidence and you shoot better. That's a fact.
That's very true.
So
that's why I use Osseer. Yeah. Anyways.
Same gun, right?
Shameless plug.
Yeah, always.
So.
But that goes through till, you know, and then that was several years ago. That club shut down. Just didn't work out. Right. He closed down. So then I'm out of nowhere to work. No, I mean, as far as like to do archery again.
Yeah.
Right. And then another gentleman who has a TV show decided he wanted to open an archery place place, Trophy Quest with John Wilson. Yeah, you can look it up. Past stuff is Trophy Quest.
Global show?
I don't know what his stuff is now. He changed his name several times, but it's he did, you know, hunting shows, and I learned more about editing and hunting shows. You know,
very important.
And editing podcast. You know, using software and the audio and this and that. So I learned a lot with that side, but I was also doing archery.
Yeah.
Because it was like finally a place in Edenton now I can shoot archery again. And so I just started hanging out there and ended up working for him for a little while. He didn't stay around. It's a theme of archery in Edenton. How about that? It's not so much.
Doesn't stay for a long
time. No, it's just a small place.
But I mean, it's a small place, but it's got tons of land, don't you think?
We need tons of people, not land.
Yes, that's true. Then what are you doing in Social Circle?
We'll get there. So from there, he shut down and set us down, says, hey, you know, I'm closing down. This was just before Christmas. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, it's freaking, you know. So, you know, got to put it in somebody else's hands. I don't have that luxury to just do stuff.
Yeah.
And so
I have a little faith. You're like, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm rolling with it.
So, and I was still doing computer work, you know, and from there, later, a guy who owns guy owns a golf shop in Edenton calls me and says, I hear you're the archery guy. Yeah. And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. And I said, well, yeah, I do archery. He said, well, I want to put archery in the golf shop because of the time frame. So when people slow down on golf is the fall months, archery is the bigger, you know, picks up in the, you know, and, so he, it was Lake Oconee Golf and Archery.
That's crazy.
Yep.
That's, so you could go in there and get your golf clubs, your balls, and a bow and arrows and
for sure. Out. Yep. Get fitted, loft and lie, so forth, order custom clubs. And then you could order whatever bows, you know, Hoyts, PSEs, whatever we were selling, and get set up for that too. And
to go to a place like this.
So sick. Yep. And I put in a an indoor range in the back of the building, so that we could, you know, try to do some other things besides just sell stuff.
Yeah.
And started an archery team, you know, with some kids traveling all over the place. And I would travel with those out of my pocket because it wasn't like I was making lots of money. So
they didn't.
No, because it, no, because it wasn't, it was a small operation. I was still working for myself essentially through his shop, you know, 1099 type thing. And well, I, took kids and went all over the, you know, different, state tournaments and a couple of national tournaments.
Yeah.
And ran into some kids that were from the ACE, and those parents went back and told the ACE owners that we need him as a coach because he is everywhere we need to be, and he's always there. And so that's how I ended up at ACE, is because they called me, offered me to coach. They had rented a facility for indoor and wanted the proof of concept that it would work.
So this is before they had the shop.
Or the shop had been there for 2 years.
Okay.
So
when was this?
13 years. Well, 10 years ago now.
Really?
Yep.
It's only been there 10 years?
No. So 13 years total archery. Uh-huh. 2 years, they didn't have an indoor range. They were just in the back corner.
So what was there before?
What? That was the flat goods. So all of the sheetrock, plywood, all of that was stored in. It was just a shed. It's just a shed. It wasn't even closed in.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So they're renting a facility. Do you know where Hot Rods it is?
Yeah.
All right. So the church beside it, Church of the Grove, I think is who's in it now. Yeah. But we were renting that part of that building and have an indoor range. Wow. And so he wanted me to prove that having an indoor range was worth it.
Yeah.
And so they had had someone else try and it just didn't whatever. So we worked it about 6 months later. He shows me the plans of, hey, we're going to close this in and do it. And the first thing he said, the first thing I told him was, it's not big enough.
How big was it?
So where, how it is now.
Oh, but you wanted like.
Well, we're outgrowing it. I mean, you can see it gets packed. I mean, we've done some great things and moved some stuff and, you know, cleaned up and did, and, you know, the new ranges, the, with the, turf in there and the, in the stands. I mean, it looks good,
but the problem is you have at most 25 yards if you're standing in the doorway.
Yeah. So it's 20 yards. I mean, it just didn't have any more, but it works great for training, teaching.
It let me. So, whenever the new bows come in, I'll go out there.
I'll just shoot them all. Just make sure you know which. You gotta know what you're talking about, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I do.
When I was sponsored with PSE for years, 26 to be a fact. The owner, and the guy who was the sales rep for this area would always say, "Go shoot them all and come back and tell me what they did better and what they did worse."
Yeah,
you know, so that we know what to how to fix and do and make it better. So
that's crazy. Yeah. Have you shot the Sicario?
I have.
What do you think?
It's the smoothest speed bow I've ever shot.
Now, when you say smooth, compare it to, I guess, like that.
No, it's not the same. No. But if you, it doesn't feel like what a speed bow used to feel like.
See, I've never shot a speed bow.
Yeah.
So that might be why. Well, I always hear people talk about it. Like, it's so smooth a speed bow. I'm like, well, what does that mean? Does that mean that
it's going to be. It's not aggressive.
Yeah.
It's just stiffer
than.
If you set the Mach 30 and the Sicario side by side, the Mach 30 would draw smoother.
Yeah.
Right. But the speed difference is definitely
felt. It's drastic.
It's definitely
felt. From like 338 to 358.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So it's felt. But you have to get that, you have to, you know, there's a give and take somewhere in all of archery.
Help me understand this. Mm-hmm. Because when all these bows, especially when that bow came out, I love when new stuff comes out, especially when I see like 350 something. I'm like, okay. I know one company that claims that and never touched it, but they did. And so my thought was like, what, how can I word this? When I looked up all that stuff, they were saying that at 30 inches, 70 pounds, that's the speed you get. But once you start dropping the inch, like the draw length down,
for sure,
it drops off drastically and it's just as fast as like a prime Matthews Hoyt or anything like that. Do you lose a lot from that?
You lose a lot on any bow.
Okay.
Does that make sense? I mean, it's a drop off significant. So, I mean, there's some other folks out on the internet now that are trying to press. I mean, Travis is one of them. Josh is one of them. Scotty, you know, they're all, you know, real world. Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah. So, and it makes lots of sense because the guy, we had a guy walk in the other day. He says, well, my bow does 340. I said, no, sir, it doesn't.
What bow is it?
Matthews something, you know. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. He said, yes, it does. It's what it said on the thing. I was like, sir, it does.
Look at the chrono on the back.
I was like, well, your arrow weight is not 350 and you're not 70 pounds and you are not 30 inches. So those three things have to happen for you to get that number. And the average person is not that. The average person is shooting 65 pounds. The average person is about a 29, 28 and a half, 29. It's the two most common. You know, PSE shipped all their bows in 29 inch to start with, just for the simple fact that that's the most common draw length.
So then why? Because I'm on the same.
It was a standard. You have to set a standard. It's sort of a, you know, and honestly, when the standards were drew up, you needed that. In other words, I shot a bow that was definitely a 30 inch bow.
Yeah.
When I was 13, 14 years old, you know,
what's because now 29,
28 and 3/4.
Okay.
So, I shoot it a hair short. I'm actually measured 29, but I shoot it a little hair short, just how I like it. Yeah. So it is what it is, but the, you had to, like, I had a PSE that I set up and I thought, this is the fastest thing in the world. 264 feet per second. I was drawing 94 pounds.
What did that feel like?
I was a kid. It didn't matter. You know, it was nothing. It's what it was. Yes. But see, now you're into it in a different time frame.
Yeah.
When we were in it, I mean, bows, like, it was the suggestion to be 70. That's where they started. They would hit 110 if you let them. And the round wheels, you could draw to 30 to 32 to 34. It didn't have a stop that automatically hit. It was, the things were different. It was, I shot a tournament and shoot 10 targets. And then I would have to go in, put my bow in the press and twist up the cables, strings to get the timing to back to where I needed to finish my shoot.
That's crazy.
Because materials wasn't where they were at. And, you know, things just wasn't. There has been leaps and bounds, sort of like in the computer industry. It used to be that by the time you saw the advertisement, there was a better one, bigger one out there.
Well, I mean, and the person here is as big as this one.
Yeah. And so archery did the same thing. So 10 times greater every time.
What would you say? Because I know we're kind of getting off the rails a little bit.
Always.
But
yeah.
I am curious because you're the perfect person to ask. I've had this debate with so many people. I've asked people on this podcast before, you know, that are archery guys and they kind of don't. They'll give an answer, but I don't think they know what to say. So hopefully you do. If not, then nobody knows.
Well, I'm going to tell you if I don't know.
What do you think is the next big thing? Because like right now, tuning is the major craze.
For sure.
Right? And that's cool, but.
But there's a reason that has become a major craze is because archery shops are leaving.
That is true.
In leaps and bounds.
That is true.
I mean, it really is. And we're blessed in the state that there are archery shops within an hour of each other.
Oh, yeah.
And there's 10 of them within
nationwide. You know, yeah. I like that.
No. So, friends of mine in, you know, Wisconsin drive like 4 hours to find the next archery shop.
Wow.
So he needs to be able to tune his bow, you know?
So, okay. Once all these bow manage, cause I think right now everyone's got tuning except Prime and PSE that doesn't require a press for the big names. Yep. Right. Mm-hmm. So what's the next thing? Like, what's the next thing they could do? Would it be cam design? Would it be?
Well, those are always going to change. Wow. Cams are always going to go to try to be more efficient.
Yeah.
Not speed. Speed was a thing there at one time. Everybody wanted to be the fastest, right? And PSE led that way.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
They're still doing.
Yeah, led that way. Has always been known as is the speed company. Yeah. But the bows are better to shoot. And I've never shot a speed bow that had 90% let off. It was just ridiculous to me to how that bow feels.
Any bow that had 90% let off.
So, you know, but it does. You have, you know. But efficiency. It's not they're going to get speed as much as they're just going to get more efficient.
So how is the average Joe going to feel that?
Less vibration, smoother draw, and their bow will be faster overall.
Okay. Because, I mean, like when I shot the Hoyts.
Your kinetic energy will be higher numbers.
Yeah.
Just because it's more efficient.
I guess that makes sense because last year, before I got the form, I shot the AX2.
Mm-hmm.
And it was set on 75.
Yep.
It felt like 60.
Yep.
That bow right there is probably 73, 74, whatever.
It feels close to 65.
Yeah, it doesn't feel that bad. But then you shoot that bear back there, it's 67 and feels like 75.
Yeah. So but that's the efficiency in the cam system.
Okay. See, we could see like I know the 80-pound primes, they probably don't feel like 80 pounds.
I don't think that the 90-pound Hoyt feels that way.
See, I still haven't shot that. Do y'all have any in the shop? Are you getting any?
No. What? I'll order it if you give me a deposit. Yeah. This didn't need it. It's not a needed. It's with efficiency of bows.
Yeah,
we don't.
It's not needed. But think about like, there's got to be somebody.
Oh, well, if there is, we'll order. It's no big deal. Yeah. 4 weeks and 5 weeks, they can have it. You know, but they can also get the color that they want and whatever. Yeah. That's the difference. If I ordered it in Georgia clay,
I would sell in a heartbeat.
They would want it in mossy oak. Bottom mass, you know.
Well, see, look, I have a fix for that. All right, you get a Georgia clay keep hammering edition, and then you get a mossy oak beast edition, and you're good to go. You can always make more money. I'm kidding.
But yeah, so that bow doesn't draw. It draws a stiff.
Yeah,
but it doesn't
90 pounds.
But it's stiff. It's not. Oh my God, I've ripped my arm off.
Still. Okay, so compare it to the AX2 at 75. Like, how much stiffer? Let me ask it this way.
A percentage.
Do you think that I'd be able to draw it back?
Yes.
Okay.
You might groan a little bit.
Is my shoulder going to probably
crack
like it did the first time I walked into the shop and Deeb set me up?
Maybe, but nah.
That was bad, dude.
Yeah,
when my shoulder sounded like a bag of chips getting stepped on, I was scared. Yeah. Steve saw it. I was like, bro, what just happened?
Yeah.
And then we had to back it down.
So there we go, talking about the, exercising for archery. Yeah.
Well, because I didn't know.
Exactly.
So that's, Jessica's been dealing with that.
Yep.
So when she shoots her bow, which everybody who listens now knows she shoots her bow backwards, whatever. She's really good at it, shockingly.
Yep.
She can get 5 shots.
And she has
40 pounds.
And she has to set it down.
She sets it down.
Yep.
And it's, or 45 pounds. And as impressive as that is, I would tune it down, but it's like, I don't really want to. I don't know if that bow can go down.
Why?
Well, because, A, I don't know what
bow is it?
Blackout.
Yeah, it'll go down.
To what?
Most of those were 10 to 60 or 10 to 70 pounds. Okay. So you probably can get a long way. I had to look at it, you know, but yes. And the reason I say that is it's like going in and you're going to go into, the gym for the first time and you're going to bench your max? No.
I mean, I always did.
No. You didn't walk in.
I also wasn't a meathead that knew what I was doing, but.
But you try like, throw 400 pounds on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you start out with lightweight and repetition.
Yeah.
So that you build up your muscles and then you just slowly add to it. So.
Well, because I mean, when I started, I was shooting 40 for almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then kept getting because at the time the cable guard was just a plastic little, and it kept popping out and I'd shoot it with it popped out and didn't even realize it.
That's right.
And then eventually maxed that bow out. But that's crazy, man. I don't know. It's just interesting to me. Like everyone always, gets so excited about these new bows.
Well,
right?
it's a new toy.
There's nothing new though.
All right. So this past year, somebody came out with tuning system first, and so everybody else ran with it. And how to redesign the mousetrap?
True, that is interesting.
So how this person or this company does the tuning versus this company does the tuning?
I mean, it was cool to see Hoyt, Darton, and Bear all have a similar system,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the exact same.
No.
And then obviously Matthews, they got the limb shift and all that stuff. But
yep.
I've been waiting on Prime to come out with a tuning system. I'm sure they're going to. But my question, and I'd ask Brian this, but I don't know how they do it. I know that look on your face. We'll talk after, but yeah, it's just interesting because it's like my brain goes to, you know, speed, right? Because everybody wants to.
But
be,
why?
Well, because if a
wiffle ball running 100 miles an hour better than a rock running 50?
No, but see, when it
hits you.
But that's my point. Is if we can get, because I had this conversation with Troy like a couple of years ago, and while I'm not a heavy arrow guy,
mm-hmm.
if I had a bow that, let's just say somehow they figured out to get it up to 370, and it didn't feel like you're pulling a Jeep.
Right? I mean, there are companies who have built bows that would do 400.
Well, yeah, but they don't.
But nobody wants to draw them.
My point, if we can get to a point with these bows where it doesn't, like if there was a bow that was shooting let's just say 350, we'll make it realistic. 350 and it felt like my prime does, well, then I could bump up my arrow weight to like 480, still at the same speed that I've got and have more punching power when I'm hitting. Now I'm not struggling with.
That's what the 90 pound weight, the 80 pound Sicario, that's what those bows are, is the guy who says the exact same thing you do. I want to bump my arrow weight up so that I have a heavier arrow and then I'm punching the same speed wise.
Yeah. I mean, that is true. I guess it kind of
goes. But everybody's not born with 30-inch draw length.
Oh, yeah. I was so, 28, yeah. 27, whatever I really am.
There's a lot of guys who are blessed in that.
Yeah. Josh Criswell is one of them. Monkey arm.
For sure. 31-inch draw length. That's right.
Crazy, dude. That does kind of take us into the arrow weight realm, though. And I'm curious your thoughts on that because, you know, I mean, you've known me, what, 4 or 5 years now? Mm-hmm. 6 years.
You
saw the progression.
Progression. Yeah.
From the hand-built arrows I was bringing in and then saying, hey, I want these to weigh 550. And then now I'm at like 4. I think my hunting setup's going to be like 438 or something like that, which is even less than what I was hunting with last year. What are your thoughts on that? Because in Georgia, we're not shooting.
No, we're it's not. Yards, well, and, you know? And we're not shooting ginormous animals.
Yeah. Unless you're in Atlanta and you're killing Sikh one level deer.
Still not a big animal. Hold on 1 second.
Oh, you're good.
Ooh, you know how that goes. You know.
Oh, I do.
It's my day off in the steelware store.
Oh, Lord.
Look at that.
All right. We might have caught that. I hope we did. I know we got it on video.
Oh, it's on video.
I am not editing that out.
Mine is on an arm.
Well, okay. So, table the arrows.
Yep.
Let's get into the podcast thing.
Right? No. We got
to hear this. You have to hear this.
We're on the arrow thing. I know, right now.
But I have arms.
Uh-huh.
They won't stay on this table.
Yep.
I tried.
You have to,
I've got the clamp and everything.
Yeah, we'll have to get into that later. Yeah. I drilled a hole.
Oh.
You know, just took the clamp and just stick it in the hole. You know, take it, slides out of the hole. But I drilled a hole if this is what you're going to use, I drilled a hole. Not for the clamp I have, but the clamps I had previous. When I was doing it out of the shop at the, you know, me and Robbie sitting at the table just like this in my office.
I never thought of that.
Yep.
Anyway. Yeah. So arrow weight, what are your thoughts on that?
I am a middle of the road guy.
Okay. A lot like T-Bone and.
Oh, for sure. I mean, Travis and we've talked about it for years. Yep. I mean, you want enough. But yet you don't need it to be overdone.
Yeah.
We built we didn't. We have a customer who is going to Africa in the next week or so.
Yeah.
Going to shoot a buffalo. They demand 700 grain arrow.
The country or the person?
Where he's going.
Hmm.
For the buffalo.
With the single bevel.
Fixed blade head.
Okay.
Yeah. That's their rules.
Hmm.
We built him some regular arrows too. He's going to shoot everything but the buffalo.
Do I know this guy? Okay.
So he's going to shoot everything with a middle of the road arrow, except for the buffalo because that's what they're allowing. So we have two sight tapes.
I was going to say, bringing two sight tapes.
So we've done everything for like his two wheels, pop it off, pop it on. You know,
what sight's he shooting?
Spot hawk.
If he had a dial, it'd be cooler. I'm biased. You know, I'm biased. Anyway.
Yes. Well, dial makes a great sight. There's nothing wrong with that. We sold a bunch of them.
Yeah. I'm happy you guys finally have them.
It took a little bit.
I've been saying it for what, 3 years now?
Took a little bit, but we've sold several. But
anyway,
as far as middle road arrow, I want enough, but I want my weight in the right place. So I want front and center.
Okay.
All right. I don't want an overall heavy arrow. I want front and center arrow. Mm-hmm. So I'm shooting an Easton 5.0, and I have a 75 grain on the nose and 100 grain broadhead. So, and then what I did is instead of shooting a 340 like I normally do, I went to a 300 mm-hmm. so that I could put that 75 in front and stay in the spine that I wanted to be.
So what's your current arrow weight?
428, I think.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Really? Wow. I just, you know, because I've, the that deer over there in the corner, I killed him with a 515 and a mega meat mm-hmm. with that blackout shooting maybe 200 foot a second.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, back then I was like, oh man, you don't, because I don't know what was wrong with me, but I used to be the type that would be like, you don't need to be going and paying this. You could hand fletch, because that's what I did with everything. And then I learned, like,
there's a lot of people who need to, who can't afford to go to a shop and get stuff done.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're in a world of knowledge. I mean, YouTube is a knowledge base phenomenon. Yeah.
Well, but YouTube was a big part of that.
But so the thing about it is there's so much. We're overrun.
Oh, yeah. Well oversaturated.
But it's saturated, and this one has the opinion, this one has an opinion.
Yep.
And therein lies the issue, right?
Yeah.
And fanboys of products, it happens.
Oh, I've been into many arguments, yep. then with so, especially arrow weight. That's kind of why I wanted to bring it up.
Yeah, I'm sort of in the middle of the road. I like my front and center. I like FOC and that.
What's your goal FOC?
12 to 15.
Really?
Hmm. So.
Isn't 12 kind of like on the lower end?
It is, but that's where I'm starting. Mm-hmm. So 12 to, I think the most I've ran is 17 to 19, but it was a different arrow.
Yeah.
And then what happens is if I put a lighted knock and we wrap and four fletch and all of that stuff, yep. that offsets everything. So it makes it even more. So every time you add something to the back, you got to add twice as much or three times as much to the front to offset the back.
So, you know, so I just did the math in my head. We both are running basically the same thing up front, because I have a 50 up front with a 125. You have a 75 with a 100.
Yep.
So it's the same thing. See that?
And the reason that I did mine this way is with the 75 is because you can find a 100 grain broadhead anywhere.
Yeah. I have been sort of struggling. I don't need broadheads right now.
But it's harder to find 125s today, because, especially in Georgia.
Yeah.
You know, there for a while, that was the only broadhead we sold. Was
100. Oh, I remember.
But it was because, you know, old school. It was always the more where you couldn't, we didn't have a way to add weight to the front. We didn't have inserts and, you know, things like that. You'd either buy brass or so forth. And it was easier just to drop a little bit more on the front. The problem is that a lot of guys would buy the 125 and they'd be on a 400 spine in arrow, and then it would be weak on them, 30 inch draw.
Yeah.
And they'll put more on the front, and then now they're shooting weak arrow. And then they call me and go, why is my arrow flying every which way loose? I'm like, well, you didn't do the math total.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't figure it all in.
Well, that's important too. Cause like I will give YouTube its credit. I would have never known anything about arrow builds. I mean, dude, the first year, I kid you not. So I came to you guys with my bow and bought arrows and all that stuff. Steve cut them down. We got everything set up, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go into what issues I had with what happened, but
it is what it is.
Water under the bridge.
100%.
Right? Forgiven, whatever. I'm done with mm-hmm. it. However, because I am the way that I am, I like to tinker with stuff.
Oh, yeah.
A lot. And you know that. And
you're parachuting. What?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm done running 5-degree helical. Did it for years. I'm not doing it anymore. Those arrows you guys built me.
2-degree
best I have
left offset
hot dude
does what it needs to do
exactly. But what was funny at the time, like when I first started, is I went to Walmart,
mm-hmm.
I bought the Allen Realtree arrows,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know you had to cut them. And I'm thinking, literally, I remember being on that side of my house with my little bag target that I got from Walmart for like $30
for sure.
And I was shooting 20 yards.
And nothing's wrong with it.
No, not at all. But see, that's the thing, is you have to go through this stuff in order to get to the point where you know what you're talking about, you know? And so
have you got there yet?
I think I have. Apparently some YouTube comments think I do.
I don't know what I'm talking about either.
See, yeah. I act like I know what I'm talking about. But no, I was out there, dude, and I had this 31 inch, just.
Oh yeah. Full length arrows.
Spear on my bow. And I remember shooting the ones that you guys built. Everything was fine. I shot the 31 inch and same distance, and it just,
yeah.
And I'm like, well, why'd that happen? And then I started looking into it and learning, and I listened to what Troy had to say. Then I met T-Bone and listened to what he had to say. And then I feel like every single person, if you hunt, you need to go through and learn what your arrow build really is.
Yeah, and, right? And you have to know what you're hunting, where you're hunting.
Exactly. Like whitetail in Georgia, in my personal opinion, anything from 400 to really 400 to 500.
You can kill with a 700. It's been all day long. It and it's not a problem. But you just have to remember there's a 20-yard shot.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah, if that's a 30. And that's what you, if that's what you're going for, fine.
Yeah.
I got a buddy of mine who kills a whoppers. And his arrow's 712 grains.
Is he shooting a grad bow?
No.
What's he shooting?
So a Darden.
Oh, well.
But anyway.
Yeah. Darden's good.
But he's shot several different brands over the years.
Okay.
But he's always had a very heavy arrow. But he's going to sling an arrow at 24 yards.
So
or less.
Is there anything to the heavy arrow argument of if you hit bone, like, you know, because some guys are like, oh, I'm gonna send it through the scapula, and it's like, well, A, why are you aiming for the scapula first off? Second, go for the vitals, you know. Well, what if I hit a rib? What if you hit a rib? You should still, your bow should be efficient enough these days that it should be able to go straight through that rib.
Yeah, most ribs crack and break.
Yeah, and I mean, then people are like, oh, fixed blade versus mechanical. My argument is, like, with the mega meats that we use, replace the blades. You know how many blades I've replaced? It's the same ferrule from 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Or 4 years ago now. Yeah. So the whole argument is just,
you get caught up in the weeds.
Yeah. And this blade angle and this and that. And
so, yeah. All of the blade angles, single bevel, double bevel, you know, three blade, four blade, 10 blade, whatever. I mean, the angle of the, how it comes out, rear deploying, over the top deploying. I mean, you can get into.
That's an argument.
Well, it is an argument.
That's a big argument.
Because
we know guys that use forward deploying, and they're like, oh, it's the best thing. And I will not touch them.
That's their opinion.
Yeah.
And they haven't had a problem.
That's true.
And so I know I've seen lots of deer that are killed with some monster, you know, over, you know, fallback broadheads and have killed some monsters. So it's not always that. It's also has to do with, and this goes back to the coaching side of me. You need to make a good shot.
Yeah.
And you need to be confident in making that shot. I remember that, it was always, if you can hit that pie plate, you know, you can hit the pie plate.
Plate at 20.
At 20, we're good. But then they'd try to sling an arrow at 45 yards. And so they'd shoot him in the ham, you know.
Which is so crazy.
But you know what? A mega meat, he's probably going to die anyway.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But you know, the other things about that is that I tell everybody, I give away a lot of stuff in the range, you know, guys that come in hunting, trying to teach them, hold their grip, hold their hands, anchors to make them more consistent. Mm-hmm. And, they always say, I said, I charge good money to teach this stuff, but I just gave it to you for free. And he goes, well, why'd you do that? I said, well, I think I owe it ethically to the deer that you make an ethical shot, you know,
having experienced that.
Yep.
Cause you have coached me the past, let's see, I've been bow hunting now for 27 years.
Yeah.
So a lot of what I've learned came from you because I'd come to the shop. I say, hey, I need to get this new bow tuned, or hey, I need this or that.
And we just tinker with a little piece that made it better.
Yeah. And like, I used to shoot 85. Now I shoot 80. I think my bow right now is like 83 or something.
Mm-hmm.
I used to death grip the bow. Don't do that anymore. Yeah. And then, you know, the one thing that really bothered me, and with the prime, I don't have this issue, but every bow before that, between the Bear, what was it? The Bear Paradox, that single cam that I had.
Mm-hmm.
Every single bow after that, until I shot prime, I always, always struggled with, because I used to shoot where my fingers would just barely be touching the front of the grip. And that Bear had a groove there, kind of like the Darton's.
Yep. Stick your finger in the hole.
Yeah. And so, like, it became my thing. And then I stopped shooting that bow and struggled for 2 years. And then I come in that one day, I've got that Bear had like a ton of grip tape on it. It's got the Bear paw grip, and you held it and you're like, dude, I know what your problem is. Your grip is gigantic. And I was like, yeah, but it doesn't. And you're like, no, take it off and try. And what, 15 minutes?
Yeah, put it in the right place. That's right.
So your coaching is on point. Like I keep telling Jessica, I was like, you really want to learn go with John. John will teach you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think right now we're still sort of in that stage of like, she just wants to shoot with me.
Yeah, have some fun. Yeah.
Because she surprisingly isn't competitive with this. I thought she was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, because I am. Uh-huh. Like when me and Josh go to the range, we'll try to make it harder on each other.
Yeah, but now Josh's wife has boots, so that makes a little difference.
Yeah, though I'm happy that she's getting into it.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently she's gonna be hunting this year, so that's cool. But it'll be interesting to see
progression. That'll bring her in. You know, saying that, you know, more girls shooting together,
yeah,
having fun. Nobody wants to turn around and go, you know, watch two guys in the yard shoot a bow. We laugh and giggle and do it all day, but your wife is not going to enjoy that, you know? But so, if then there's another female there with a bow, then that makes it more enjoyable for them. And you feel like, hey, I'm getting more time to do what I want to do. And we're doing it all together. So
unless
the
other female is super competitive.
Oh, well, it could happen. It could happen.
It's like,
it could happen. Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, we'll see how it goes. You know, I would love to have Jess get shoot, because right now, deer season was tomorrow and she wanted to go kill something.
Mm-hmm.
She's deadly at 30 yards. She could kill something.
For sure.
So it's like, I've already gotten her to a point, or really, I shouldn't, it's not even me. She's the one that's...
She's put in the work.
Yeah, she's put in the work. Yeah. Like, she's figuring it out.
Exactly.
Dude, I jumped like a little kid when she shot the... I mean, you saw my target, mm-hmm. right? When she shot the block target and
hit the black
dead center, a little high, but you're like, filled with filth. Yeah. I was like, oh, God, mm-hmm. how long it took me to do that?
Girls outshoot boys all
the time. I know. I tell her that all the time. I was like, when we go to FAC next year, you're going to outshoot me. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, I won't. I'm like, no, I promise you, you are going to do it. And you're shooting with no peep sight, bows backwards.
Yeah.
Like, that's extremely impressive. Mm-hmm. So, so what?
You had a list of questions.
I definitely I have no questions.
And we get on the rail because of what it is. As far as arrow weight, I think I'm a middle road guy. So, you can't go too stiff these days with bows.
Really?
Mm-mm.
So you're saying, all right, I'm gonna pick your brain here.
Yep.
You're saying if I wanted to shoot a 250 spine, 28 inch draw, 70 pounds.
It could happen.
And it's not too stiff?
No.
How?
Because we're shooting in Georgia. So,
okay, so you're saying for what we're shooting, it's not that.
The bows today, I can tune an arrow on a bow today. The problem where you get an issue is if you're slightly weak or slightly stiff. Right? That's where it has the weirdest flex on an arrow. If anybody understands how an arrow works and how spine works, spine. Oh,
don't start
that. Anyway, how it works, it's based off the flex, and that's, the smaller the number, the less flex it has. But the bows with the tuning systems today and the efficiency that they are, I think we've pretty much jumped two spines on the chart.
Really? So you think if I'm shooting a 300, I would need a 200?
No, 250 for sure. 250. Your spine chart was probably before now that people have understood the spine chart. Somebody would have put you in 400s as it is right now. You know, 27, right? 27 is draw. Oh, but if you don't, 400 be fine. Yeah. You're right. But stiffer is always better.
People don't take into account, too, is say you buy 400s. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jessica's got this same thing.
Yeah.
Just because it's 400 at 32 inches, when you cut it down to 22,
it is,
26
it,
inches.
It's stiffened up.
Exactly. It's now gone from 400 to like...
Could be a 350.
350, mm-hmm. 370, yep. Whatever. Which actually makes sense because, you know, my arrows, they're 300.
Mm-hmm.
30, I think they were 31 inches from the factory, 30 inches, whatever.
Yep.
We cut them down to 26.
Yep.
So that's not a 300 spine anymore.
Nope.
It's probably more like a 280.
Yeah, for sure.
That's crazy.
And then when you add the front off of it, the 50 grains that you run on the front, that goes back and it pushes it back. That's why with I could shoot a 340 in a standard configuration, but for me to add front weight, I went up to a 300 so that I can get the same, really close to the same speed, same wear weight, put it where I want to. Because I am a four-fletch guy. We're not going to get into that, but... And I run a lighted knot because I think it's pretty when I watch it go disappear. And so,
how do you feel about those rainbow lighted knots?
I'm a one color person, really? So yeah, I don't want all that blinkiness. It just drives me crazy.
About it now, maybe it's my ADD, yeah. Or my TISM.
You just like it.
Yeah, like I see it, I'm like, ooh, blinky colors.
Yeah,
I wish it was a rainbow. I wish it was more like orange and yellow or mm-hmm. something, you know. But so I want to ask you this:
mm-hmm.
You're an archery tech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Working a shop.
Yep.
What is shop life like? Y'all shop, I will say, I've been to Ace, been to Roots.
Nathan's a good guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Roots is great people. I think they still have that archery shop over there at Larry's Four-Way.
I don't think they have a technician.
Right? Oh, really?
I don't think so. But he does sell some archery stuff. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. What is that like? Because I've been in there on busy days.
Yeah.
And it's stressful. I don't know how you do it.
It's stressful.
I really don't.
Busy days are stressful, yeah. Period. But if you do what you love, you never work.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
So I enjoy my work. Yes, it's stressful. And yes, you can have a customer that can be peculiar.
Yeah.
Like that guy, Eric. But
I'm very, very picky.
But all jokes aside, yeah. I mean, but if you're doing what you enjoy, it overtakes the busyness, yeah. The aggravation, the whatever. It's picking up and it's fixing to go balls to the walls.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's that time of year. I don't care what archery shop if you need some strings, cables, bow work, something you want to buy, do it now.
Dude,
I don't care where you're at in the country, do it now.
Yeah.
Even in California, right? They start early. They're the earliest season because they're fixing to start. Their first hunting season is the end of July.
Well, if they continue to go the way that Oregon's going, there won't be any hunting over there. We don't need to get into that. Me and Thomas talked about it last week, but
that will be a heated
discussion.
And I can see a mass exodus of.
Oh, yeah. Cam Haynes is moving.
Because it's not just Cam. Do you understand that there are several archery companies based in Oregon?
Yeah. Freaking Josh Jones.
You know.
Cody Marshall.
No, he's in Washington.
Well, I mean, Washington's not probably that far behind.
Bowtech is built in Oregon.
Really?
Yep. Eugene. Spot Hog is built in Oregon.
Oh, yeah. They're moving.
You don't understand what I'm saying?
If they pass.
So, yeah. But
anyway, yeah. Back to the shop stuff.
But as a shop, if you, and I'm just doing this for anybody, if you need bow work, get it done now.
Yeah.
Because like strings and cables, so forth, the list gets bigger and bigger and bigger because all of the East Coast all start within a month of each other.
Yeah.
So if you walk in a month before a season and you think you're going to get your strings back on, put back on and ready to rock,
yeah.
you're doing yourself a disservice because even if you did get it back, you haven't shot the bow enough to be ready.
Yeah.
And then second of all, string orders right now are 2-3 weeks roughly to get back on back to your house.
Yeah.
It will be 4-6 weeks oh, yeah. easily.
Let me pause you right there.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Joel, if you're listening, get your bow restrung now. Okay. I told you yesterday you need to get it done. Sorry. One of my buddies I asked him if he was coming on the shoot
mm-hmm.
and he was like, yeah, I think so. I need to get my bow restrung. I'm like, brother, it's June. What do you mean? Have you shot it? No, I haven't shot it. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Like, and that's the thing too. And it leads into what we were talking about. But people, like you and I, only bow hunt, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't carry a gun much anymore?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I haven't hunted with a gun since 2020. Yeah. No, I'm sorry, 2019.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not saying that what we're doing is right or anything like that, but archery, while it's mostly mental, it's also muscle memory.
Well, for sure.
And I have had this argument. Thor is one of them. Granted, Thor had an operation, so he's not really.
He's a little down and out, you yeah, know, he, but that's a different story. Yeah.
But like, my thing is, if you are going to bow hunt,
I
do your bow all year.
So you owe it to the animal
yeah.
to be prepared to take that yeah. animal's life.
And even, listen, I shoot my bow all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I still make bad shots.
Oh, we all have.
I'm making bad shots.
For sure.
And I'm confident that I can hit something at 100.
So that's some of the reason that we try to do things at the shop and other places do the same thing, lead nights, you know, to yeah. get people to come in and shoot yeah, their bows, you know.
Yep. Bow shoot.
That's right. Just all the different stuff to try to get people, hey, this is the time of year, pull it out, make sure all this, you know,
yeah.
it's all working.
Unless you're shooting a prime and then you could just honestly leave it because once you guys tune it, they don't move.
Well.
I'm kidding.
But.
I mean, it's true. These two bows are tuned.
But you're not tuned.
I mean, I'm tuned now.
But I'm saying, like, as a norm, if you open the book, you're not going to shoot groups like this, like, constantly. You might shoot the first two.
Yeah.
And truthfully, bow hunting, we only shoot the first one, right? But, you know, in the heat of the moment, is that going
to
happen?
Well, and that's the thing, too, that goes to, and I actually was talking about this with, might have been Thomas last week. I was talking with somebody about, like, training for bow hunting. Mm-hmm. And I have tried. I've ran up and down the driveway. I've done push-ups. I've gotten in that mindset. I was Mooney barking. Done the mindset thing where I'm like, all right, draw back slow. That's your 150-inch deer you've been hunting all year. And then it doesn't do the, like, you can't replicate it.
No.
But if you shoot enough and you're comfortable,
yeah.
And then like, you handed me my bow and said, hey, go hit that target at 60.
Yeah.
I haven't shot the bow in a week. I could still do it.
Yeah.
However, if you said, go kill 130-inch deer at 60,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to fall apart.
Maybe.
I haven't mentally
faced that.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where it's like, the more you shoot, the more confident you get, the better chances you have when you're in the stand in that time.
Yeah. The more you shoot, you know that all of that is fixed because you know that. So, and now all you have to do is focus on what you need to focus on.
Just do your your process, right?
That's right.
It's crazy, man. It really bothers me when, like, my buddies are like, oh, well, it's gun season. Bow's going up. I'm like, dude.
It happens.
Really? No. I don't know. And it's fine. It's their thing. It's what makes them happy.
Oh, right? For sure. We're all hunters. And the problem is we're not making more hunters.
No.
So let's not fault them for, you know, putting the gun and going, you know, at least picking up a gun. Yeah. Or their buddy that doesn't want to bow hunt, he picks up a gun. Let's not fault them for that. Because as far as bow hunting goes, or as far as hunting in general, we're getting less and less hunters every year.
Yeah, which some people say is a good thing, but if you really look at it.
Is it a good thing?
Well, no. I'm saying, like, if you hunt public.
I understand that, but is it a good thing?
No, not at all.
Because if we don't, then the funding goes down. The funding goes down, then there's less public.
Why do you think DNR made us go through the hoops they did this year?
Yeah.
Because of that.
Because if there's less people to use the facilities, then they have to go through bigger hoops to cover their costs.
I mean,
but if you
through all of it,
if you get more people, if you have a bigger crowd, then, you know, everybody pays a piece of the puzzle.
Yep.
But if there's only four, it's a whole lot more. So, so I don't think it's a good thing because, it's happening in Oregon.
Yeah.
We don't need it anymore.
You will when you hit 30 deer in a week. Driving to work.
Yeah, you know, it is. If
no one over there is working, then maybe you won't have that problem. Mm-hmm. But then when you have dead deer on the side of the road because there's no food or there's disease or whatever, which the disease I'm thinking of is not CWD, but
no,
it's just crazy.
That's
man.
That's a whole nother, that could be a,
it's a hoax.
It's a hoax.
I'm just going to call it like it is. And I don't buy, I would eat a CWD deer. If someone said, hey, this deer's got CWD, give me the back straps. Let's go. Like I'm personally not worried about it, but. Yeah, it's just, it's hard. Like, I let, like, Andy or Josh or Thor, whoever, I let them come to me and say, you're going to take the 308 out? I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm a real man. If you want to take the easy route, go for it. I'm just kidding.
Well,
I didn't joke with them like that.
Yeah, but that's friends. And we joke all the time. I mean, and we joke brands, right? Because I shoot a different brand than you.
Yeah.
And we joke about it all the time.
See, the thing is, though, about the brands, like, I used to be the type of way. I used to be bear only. I mean, you remember that.
Yeah.
I was literally like, John, where are the bears at? Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, they're there now.
They are now. Mm-hmm. You're welcome. I'm just kidding. No, but I, you know, once I started shooting a different bow and like actually shot all the bows, I realized that there isn't a bad bow out there.
No.
If you really break it down, even the cheapest bear.
It's
still better.
It's still better what I started with, for sure.
So it's the brand thing is really kind of funny to me because
Ford versus Chevy, we both get in the same place, but you know,
well, you drive a Dodge.
Yeah, I drive a Dodge, so I'm not even in that same hunt. That's right.
No, it's I just let me ask you this, and we can sort of start to wrap it up with this, but what do you think we're ever going to get away from the pissing contest that's hunting and archery?
No. The problem that we have run into is that we don't have the camaraderie of hunting camp like we used to.
That's true. I've never been to hunting camp.
Exactly. So hunting camp was a mystical place. Do you understand? it was you look forward to it every year.
Yeah.
To be able to
take
go
work off, take school off.
Well, yeah. So like, you know, for us, it was, you know, Thanksgiving break.
Yeah.
Because that was actually the first Doe Days.
Really?
Was Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So, we waited for Thanksgiving break. Yeah. And so that we could go shoot does and, go to camp and spend that.
So you went to camp to shoot does?
Yeah.
Wow. Or obviously an odd buck if it
should. Oh, for sure. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, but it was to fill your freezer.
Yeah.
And, you know, cause you could sit in the stand and watch does and watch does and watch does, but you couldn't shoot. So at that point, yeah. So there was no shooting those does.
Yeah.
And so we had our first, you know, that first doe days. And then
what is it? 2-3 months.
Yeah. And so we would wait and wait and wait. And then of course, here's the funny part is it's about the time that the rut is in full blown, you know, November, mid November. I mean, and so now
where you are, but yeah.
Yes. But so now you're in a crossroads. Yeah. do I shoot that? Shoot
the first is running in
at 150. And then something behind it, or do you not? So, I mean, we don't have that problem anymore with the way the, you know.
Bags and bags.
Yeah, but in the state of Georgia. Yeah. I mean, you get 12. I mean, I don't know.
I've gotten.
Yeah, but you're the not the norm. The norm is one.
That's true. Well,
still,
I mean.
Today.
My best season was 5.
I know, but the norm is not that. Not that we could have the opportunity, but that we don't, we just shoot. Yeah. And it's always better to brag about the buck that we shot than it is the doe that we shot. And well, the point that the internet has come to make everybody, we want to watch the big ones. We want to see that 150, you know, 170s. You want to see that. And so, the internet itself has made it where, it's shameful if we shoot a 120, right? And so I see posts every day during hunting season that says, well, he wasn't as big, apologetic before he even post a picture. He wasn't as big as I thought he was, but
even that spike right there.
Yeah, it's 100%.
First deer I killed, first buck I killed in 3 years after Pickles.
Yeah,
and for sure. The only reason I shot him is because it'd been 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So when I posted it, granted, I didn't say, well, I know he's not a giant, but I did say something along the lines of, having killed a buck in 3 years, and the good Lord sent me this one.
That's right.
I wasn't being stingy like I've been.
Yeah.
And what was crazy is I did not get a single negative comment, which I fully expected.
Oh, for sure.
I just shoot a spike.
Well, like, well,
why do you care?
All of our customers, we asked them to send us their, you know, kills.
Yeah.
And we post them on our Facebook, and there were some of them that would say stupid things like, "He still got milk on his belly." I was like, "Dude, that's his first deer ever. You have to." It irks me more than anything. I'm like, you know, so if you, Uncle Ted says it best, if you want to shoot a spike, shoot a spike.
Yeah,
you know,
shoot a spike this year.
You know, if you want to shoot the animal, shoot the animal. Yeah. But here's the problem: don't be apologetic on it from when you post it.
Yeah.
Stand behind it 100%. And that's my...
See, and that's the issue, man. Like, and I love what Seek One has done. Like, we're buddies with those guys. And, you know, we know Jay and people from Realtree and stuff. Like, we know people that kill big deer.
Yeah, right? For sure.
But what I don't like is the fact that just because you see Lee Ellis kill 5 200s in 5 years
mm-hmm.
consecutively, not your weekend warrior is not going to be that guy.
No.
You know, but everybody wants to be.
Well, for sure.
I mean, killing big bucks is great. My goal is to kill a deer bigger than that.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the deal. We watch football and we all want to be
Tom Brady,
yeah. You know, Peyton Manning, you know, whoever, right? But you know, you're never going to be.
Yeah.
So you don't like post pictures of you throwing the ball in the yard and apologize for it.
The difference is, listen, in a conversation with Cody, I think, someone recently, where you could get lucky.
Oh, 100%.
You know, so I think that's why people are like, oh, I want to do this, or, you know, why people maybe give other people crap. But I've always said, if you're not paying me to go hunt there, shut up. Why do you care?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it.
But we shouldn't shun folks.
Well, no, of course not.
You know, but it happens. Yeah, but it does. It's like, oh, he's, you know, that one still has milk on his, whatever. I'm like, dude, you don't know the story behind this guy, right? He picked up a bow 4 months ago. And this was his first down. He come in is so excited. And then all you're going to do is kick him in the, you know, and just, I'm like, I'm, so I was started deleting those negative posts, just because he didn't need to see it.
Yeah.
Cause it's not growth, you know?
Well, it's like, we need to, especially with what's happening in Oregon, what happened in Michigan with all the
regulation changes
to ask you about before we wrap it up. Cause I am curious your thoughts on what I think we need to do in Georgia. But, yeah, I mean, when you see stuff like the Oregon situation, why do you think they got to that point? Take all the politics out of it. Why do you think they feel that they can get away with that? Because hunters typically bring each other down.
And exactly.
When you do that, you don't have the support that you would need.
No.
And then they see an opening and PETA or whoever is like, oh, they're infighting. Well, let's go make it worse. And then it gets out of hand.
For sure.
All right, last thing before we wrap it up. What's your thoughts on the proposition that I said a couple weeks ago when I did the Michigan podcast with James?
All right, so remind me so that I make sure
I'm about to tell you.
Yep.
I think that if Georgians want bigger deer, we need to go to a one-buck state with an earn-a-buck system, or we can keep the two-buck. Let's just keep the two-buck, but you start with one-buck tag. You get however many doe tags, maybe 12 or 10 like we have.
It's 10.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then in order to get your second buck, you need to kill at least one or two does before you get the second buck.
I
think that will benefit the deer herd.
I personally think that we should earn a buck, shoot a doe, earn a buck tag.
So I think you're given a buck tag.
I think you get your 10 doe tags.
Okay.
And when you shoot your first doe,
then you get a buck.
Then you get a buck.
Okay.
If you shoot two more does, then you get your second buck. Now, it can change after the herd gets controlled.
Yeah.
Rules can be changed, right? I started hunting with 3 tags.
No.
And now I'm at 12. We got 3 tags. Hold it. 1 buck, 2 does. And we had doe days. Didn't start till, like I said, November.
Yeah.
So we had November and Christmas. Those, you know, a week here and a week here to shoot does.
Yeah.
So essentially there was a lot of times I had tag sandwich, you know, no restriction on the buck. So I have lots of small deer, you know, and not that that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
But if we still just allow somebody to shoot, and I feel that it's the problem is that people, there's a lot more deer shot that are not told about.
Oh, yeah.
In the state. But I do believe that everybody should shoot a doe.
Yeah.
I think everybody needs to shoot a doe. You need to shoot a doe. First off, you get the 110 inches changes your blood pressure.
Oh, yeah.
But the floppy ear doe doesn't. As much.
For most people.
Yeah.
See, I'm worse with those. Personally speaking, I'm much more cool, calm. Like, when I shot him,
yeah,
I was kind of excited. I was worked up, whatever, in the moment. But that all came after I found him.
Yeah.
When I shot my first doe, dude, I fell out of the sand. And I don't know why. I think because growing up, I always just thought, oh, when you shoot deer, you shoot a buck.
Yeah.
Right? And like, there's something still in me today that when I see a doe and I'm thinking I'm going to shoot her, I almost have this feeling like, man, don't do that. What are you going to do that for? Obviously, I don't listen to that. But it's like, I have this, I said it to somebody, when you kill a mature doe,
that's
harder to do.
Harder to serve up. Oh, for sure.
Because that mature doe knows everything that's going on.
Yeah. She's smart.
Yeah. And maybe it's harder to find a mature buck, but actually killing it when you have the two in front of you, I have almost more respect for the mature doe than mature buck.
For sure.
Because that doe is locked in.
But I believe that we just need to earn a buck tag.
I agree.
That's my opinion, and it's been that way for the last couple of years. And it's not that we don't have enough hunters, or if it's not, which we don't, and we don't have enough. But it's the, if that was the rule, then when you posted your first doe picture, you're not going to go, well, you know, I sat around, watched them. You're not going to make an excuse for shooting it.
Well, no. I saw the 150 I'm after, but the stupid dough rule.
Well, that'll happen.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
But then guess what? That 150 will come.
Yeah.
Hopefully. You never know.
But at the same time, I mean, that's an outlier. But, I mean, I've watched tons of deer, you know, and watched tons of does walk by waiting on the 120, the 130. I'm not going to say 150. I mean, yes, everybody wants a 150, 170. Yes. Yeah, it's just the number, right? Yeah. But, you know, I'm a 125 guy. And the reason being is because that's Pope and Young, you know?
I'll take 105.
But I know.
102.
But you understand what I'm saying. Like, yeah. The Pope and Young, if you get your name in a book, you know, not saying that you have to pay for it, but just $150. But to say that you shot a Pope and Young, that's something. I remember my first Pope and Young. It was like, oh my God, you know, I did it. You know, let's go measure it. You know, let's make sure. And then I did it again. You know, and so Popes,
yeah.
Six.
Eight.
Mm-hmm. So, but I have a whole truckload to draw under that.
But see, that's kind of the point of the earn a buck thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you get the experience.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I could tell you right now, if a buck like that walked out,
he's dead.
Maybe I've never had a buck like that within range where I could shoot it. I've mm-hmm. seen one like twice that size. Well, I can say twice that size.
Yeah,
30 inches bigger than that,
mm-hmm.
and. I know now. I used to be like, oh, why didn't I kill it? Now I know. God was like, hey, one day,
yep.
showing me what will happen at some point. But
so right now. So my first deer that I mounted, I only have one mounted. Everything else is either skull mount or plate, you know. He's a 10. I shot him. So he's a 10, but he's a typical 8. And he has split brow tines and they lean straight back. And so, but he was the first 125 and I shot him with a 30-30, but you know, but that was, you know,
same
size. So, but at that time it was my first, you know,
big.
Yeah. So I remember, you know, my father, like I shot one and I was like, we're going to get him out. And he's like, let's just wait for one a little bigger. And then, you know, I'm going to get a mounted. Let's just wait for one a little bigger. And finally, you know, the 125 is a pretty mount. It's got his feet up. Got it. I got my single barrel 20 gauge hanging on it. You know,
you got a full lockout.
No, it's just you got the hoose up for a gun rack. And so he is three times thicker than that bow there because he only has a 12 3/4 inch spread. But his base is
Mr. Basket.
Yes. So he had no teeth in his head.
Oh, so you
old. The hind quarter cut out was almost 54 pounds.
Good Lord.
Big. It was this thing was huge. Man. Yes. He was huge. His main beams come out that wide to the point on that last point. But he's got split brow tines. They lean straight back. So it's pretty cool.
Like
I'll send you.
Having triple.
Yes. Right. Yeah. So, but it's just, they're leaning straight back.
Yeah.
So you really, if he looks like an 8, I mean, all day long, you'd have to see him from the side. So I got him on a semi sneak so you can see the, but yeah. That was the first deer that I mounted.
What would it take for you to mount him?
Your money, you're going to pay for him. You can put him on the show.
Well, God, that was a pretty decent price.
Yeah, but being on the wall for me, it's not the experience is what I like.
Yeah.
I the thrill, the whole thing. I can tell you that story from top to bottom to whatever. My uncle has 5 or 6 134s, 140s. This was Baldwin County.
Really?
But long, but we, I count 64 deer sitting in deer stand. So honey hole, awesome. Honey hole for sure. But I don't hunt there now, you know? But the experience, like I said, the camp, the camaraderie of a group standing around a campfire, talking about what stand are you going to go hunt in? We don't get that today.
Yeah. I mean, the closest I've had to that would be, hunting public. Like when me and Josh go,
yeah,
I don't know where he's going till we get there.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, I'm going over here. It's like, all right, cool. I'm going over here. Call me if you need me or something.
But it's not, it's just you two. right? What if it what if it was five more?
Yeah, I mean, we've had, I know me, him, and my buddy Pocket win one time. Mm-hmm. I took my buddy Joel, actually, who I yelled at earlier, to public last year, abysmal season.
Let me tell you. Let me tell you what's a pretty cool place to go. And maybe we'll talk about this more, whatever, but maybe this be something that the Southeastern Bowhunters would do, yeah, is Piedmont
Wildlife Refuge.
Mm-hmm. They have it's a $12.50 draw, and they draw 250 people on.
That's
so between there and Macon, like, you know, Gray, where Juliet, Monticello, from Monticello to, so in Gray, in that area.
I mean, I can do that. I've won this year. I'm putting in again, and I'm actually going to go, if I get drawn, that Water Authority hunt.
Yeah.
Newton County.
That's a cool hunt. But like I said, this is the, in bow hunting. So if you go early in bow season, the campground's open. Hot water washout.
Really can have a deer camp up there.
Yeah.
Go for like 2 or 3 days.
Take your, you know, set up your tent. 5 or 6 guys, take a week.
Yeah.
And the old, I forgot how many acres it is, 20, 38, 40,000 acres is all yours, really.
They got good genetics over there?
Yeah. I know that I hadn't hunted in the last couple of years there, but I know every year that I hunted, there was a 140-ish killed.
That's kind of the I don't want to say benchmark, but like when we talk and keep seek one out of this.
Yeah.
Because that's totally different.
That's like, it's so are a lot of people, but we're just going to leave that alone.
It's not political on this podcast.
It's not political. This is just people, right?
Yeah. I've been yelled at by homeless lady one or two times. But yeah, no, I mean, like a 140, I feel like is kind of the benchmark. It's kind of like the Georgia goal. You kill a 140 in Georgia.
Well, for the longest time, it was 125.
Well, yeah.
I mean, for sure.
And now we've actually gotten deer that are bigger. I mean, I probably, one of the bucks I was hunting last year,
mm-hmm,
I want to say it was dead eye.
Yeah.
He was probably in the 30s.
Yep.
He's alive now. If I showed you the picture of what he looks like right now, I wouldn't be shocked if he scratches high 130s, 140s.
Yeah, for sure. The difference between the 25s, 30s and the 40s, 50s. Is truly food. No doubt.
Sure.
Food.
When we go to South Georgia, how many giant deer do they have?
Lots.
You know, I mean, what was that? I think the state record is like 248 or something, which is insane.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I don't know. I want to get you back on later.
We can talk about different stuff. See, the problem is we have so many things we could talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, we can go for a long time on talking about different things, but, you always give all your shout outs. I'm going to give mine out. Right? So shameless plug, George Archery, spelled out George Archery is a podcast / webpage. So, I've had it forever. That was actually where it started. The webpage was so that you could figure out where the next tournament was. All right. And we also post pictures of this, that, and other. And Ace Archery, Social Circle, Hardware, Ace Hardware and Social Circle in the archery department.
Okay, both shot in the Southeast.
I've been there for over 10 years, 10 years, 10 years, 9 months, matter of fact. this is funny. And we do a great job, guys. Carry almost every brand there is now.
Yeah.
And we start from one end to the other unless you shoot them all. Personally sponsors, I shoot Easton, I shoot Hoyt, I shoot Easton. That's not why I shoot Easton. It is an American made arrow. It's the only American made arrow. Say that again so everybody can hear. The only American made arrow.
Look, we could argue back and forth about Easton and Victory. It doesn't matter. Arrows are fine. Arrows.
Arrows are arrows. All, you know, like we said, all bows are great. Yeah. All, you know, top end arrow companies are great.
Easton.
Yeah. But I shoot Hoyt Easton. I shoot B3 archery. Oh. So I shoot B3 sights, B3 releases. I do have a UV scope on my hunting bow right now. And I use UV stabilizers. So. They don't make stabilizers anymore, except their hunting ones.
See, that's why you need to run catalyst.
I knew you was going to throw yours in there.
I wanted to talk to you. We could talk about this after. Yep. I do want to talk to you about some of the people getting in through the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're like my guy with that. So we'll talk about that after. But keep going with Shane.
Well, that's it. And then, and like I said, they get out, shoot a bow, right? And teach someone else to shoot a bow. That's the biggest thing. The only way this is going to grow. And don't shun the crossbow guy. And don't shun the first-time shooter or that, you know. Don't
anywhere. One of my church members is coming with a few other church members to the shoot. He shoots a crossbow.
So?
And he asked me, he's like, can I bring it? I'm like, dude, bring it to you. Yep. Bring it out a lot.
For sure. We're all archers, right? And we're all in this sport together. You know, we joke and get laugh, right? But on the other side of that, I'm not the guy to go, you know, you're just because you can doesn't mean, you know, hey, they make spandex in my size. I'm not going to wear it. Okay.
I will buy you.
Nope. Not going to wear it.
Are you sure?
But just because they make it fit you doesn't mean you can. So, at the same time, just because you can draw a bow back and shoot it doesn't mean that it's honestly, there's some people out there that I feel better with them shooting a crossbow.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to put the dedication and time to learn to shoot a vertical bow. And so, hey, they're out. Yeah. Well, you get physically, they can't, but at the same time, there's some people that just won't put the dedication and time to it. So, I mean, I think they're better off, but they're still in the woods, killing deer, getting to the experiences, the whole nine yards. So,
yeah, all I can think about right now, it's an image of
that's me and my spandex.
Yeah, I don't know why I get that out of my head. Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on.
Not a problem.
This is a lot of fun. I love doing the in-person ones, man. They're so much better. Hopefully the audio is better this time than it was. Last time, I'll play with it tonight. But everybody, it's another episode of Southeastern Bowhunter Podcast. And remember, Christ is King. So go read your Bible and go shoot your bow.